I'm not sure that we could have picked a better book to read for a baptism Sunday than the book that Liz read earlier. You're Here for a Reason is precisely what we claim on behalf of those whom we baptize. Little Teddy is not just on this earth to bring delight to his parents and his grandparents, his cousin and his aunts and his uncles, though he surely does that. The waters of baptism claim him for a deeper purpose than just being part of a biological family. They claim him and us for the work of following Jesus and embodying love in the world. Listen now for three brief texts of Scripture. The first from Micah 6:8, the prophet Micah's words of challenge to the leaders and the people of Israel and Judah. Yahweh has brought a suit against them for breaking the covenant through their lack of honesty and justice and kindness. And this is how it's summed up. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. Our second text is from Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, to people in early Christian communities in that region. Paul writes that one is made right with God not through one's own efforts to adhere to the law, but through a grace that leads to faith, and that faith naturally gives rise to what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. That's the indicator of a life lived in the way of Jesus. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And finally, from the Gospel of John, this is part of Jesus' last discourse to the disciples in the upper room. He's addressing them on the night of his arrest. Listen for what he says to them about their purpose, the reason why they were chosen or appointed. This is my commandment, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. This past Saturday afternoon, Judith and I had the privilege of being in attendance for the funeral of a man named Michael Taylor. We were there with about 500 other people, many of them members and friends of Swansboro United Methodist Church in Swansboro, North Carolina, the congregation that Judith's mom and dad and brother and sister-in-law and my nephews attend. Michael had served the larger community as a music educator in the Onslow County Schools for 35 years plus, and he had been a pianist and vocalist for that congregation for the past 29 years. And given that Judith and I have been going down together to that area on vacation for at least a week every year since we were married 28 years ago and before then, and attending worship every Sunday that we were present, we came to know Michael Taylor pretty well. Michael was a gifted musician who deeply and authentically felt the songs that he played and sang, and as one of the pastors who eulogized him said, he may have been the kindest person any one of us had ever met. In true Southern style, Michael greeted everyone he met by calling them Shug. He always had a warm smile and a hug and some conversation for me and Judith and our daughters every time he saw us. And every time we left, he said, it was good to see you, Shug. As I sat in the pew during Michael Taylor's service, I found myself weeping to an extent that surprised even me. Part of my emotional response was due to the fact that Judith and I had really come to know and love that man over these years, and we certainly felt loved and appreciated by him. Part of my response was brought on by the sheer loveliness of the music chosen and sung, including a recording of Michael himself singing, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Part of my response, I think, was deep sadness that the fact that Michael was a gay man and his partner was in attendance that day went totally unacknowledged. And frankly, part of my response was ongoing grief from having helped lead 11 memorial services for other dear children of God already this year. All of that grief just welled up in me when I was not up front, but sitting in the pew. But I think as much as anything else, what brought tears to me and so many others that afternoon was that Michael understood that he was here for a reason, and he used his talents and his gifts, his personality, and his very self in service of that reason. He knew he was put on this earth to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and to be a blessing to others, and he did just that. When we celebrate a life that is centered in such purpose, it touches something deep within us, because that is all too rare. All too many people in this world struggle because they forget or never really understand their reason for being here on this earth. We get confused and think it's about amassing more stuff or getting more recognition or winning and keeping people's approval or protecting ourselves, our things, and our egos. But from the perspective of a life centered in Christ, that's not the reason we're here at all. The fundamental reason we're here, and this goes for any and all of us who claim the name of Jesus in our baptismal vows, the fundamental reason we are here is to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves, or as Micah put it, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God, or as Paul put it, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's it. We have different gifts and talents. We have different personalities and proclivities. We have different things to offer the world, and we should offer those things. But our primary purpose is to stay centered in God's love and to use our gifts to help others. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, Teddy. That's what it means. And his discourse with his disciples in the upper room on the night before he is arrested, at least in John's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will shape what you ask of God, fruit that will lead you to love each other. I appointed you," he says, "I appointed you for a reason." It's an interesting word, appointed. It makes you think of appointments, like the appointment that James and Elizabeth and Teddy and I had to go through a practice run. It makes you think of setting aside a time for a meeting or some other activity, or selecting someone for a committee, or naming them to a political post. The English word appointed only shows up in the Gospels four times, twice in relation to the calling of the 12 disciples in Mark, once in relation to the sending out of the 70 in Luke, and here in John's Gospel once, with reference to being chosen to go out and bear fruit. But what's more interesting to me than the English word appointed is the Greek word from which it's translated. The word is tithemi, which looks a lot like tithe, by the way, but it's not the same word, though both refer to setting something aside. In John's gospel, that same Greek word, tithemi, is used only a few other times in different contexts. When Jesus changes the water into wine at the wedding banquet, the chief wine steward says to the groom, "Most other people tithemi the good wine first and save the inferior stuff for last, but you tithemied the good wine till now." And then in John 10, when Jesus is talking about the good shepherd, he says, "The good shepherd tithemies his life for the sheep." In John 15, Jesus says he tithemies the disciples to bear fruit. In John 19, Pilate has a sign, "Tithemied to the cross," which says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And finally, Jesus is tithemied into a tomb. He's appointed. He's set aside. He's laid down. And that, by the way, is what we do in baptism. We tithemi little ones. So a few observations. One, today we baptize little Teddy McIntyre. Whatever else baptism is, it's our way of acknowledging that people who follow Jesus have been tithemied, appointed, set out to be the good wine that brings joy to the party, called to live a life that is willing to lay down ego and pride and life itself for the sake of others in love's name, a life that bears the fruit of the Spirit, which only comes when we're willing to give ourselves up. Number two, over the course of his life in this congregation, it is my hope that little Teddy, as he grows into big Teddy, will again and again learn what it means that he has been tithemied. In Sunday school, through learning the stories of Jesus and projects meant to serve, and confirmation and youth group, when he claims for himself that he has been tithemied and learns that a life appointed to bear fruit looks like joy and love and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. In a life here in this congregation or elsewhere as he grows up and out, it is my hope that little Teddy, who will become big Teddy, learns and acts on the fact that he has been set aside. He has been appointed. Third, to say that Teddy is here for a reason and you are here for a reason and I am here for a reason does not mean that there is a reason for everything that happens to us. Do you get the distinction? We're here for a reason, but sometimes things happen that are awful and we cannot discern what that reason is. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of it, we can remember that we are here for a reason. And thank goodness times two. that God has appointed us to be loving even in the midst of hard times when we're not sure what the reason is. Number four. Yesterday, the nation learned of the death of John McCain, a true statesman and a man of honesty and integrity and duty, who was willing to sacrifice himself throughout his life and was able to acknowledge that he had made mistakes from time to time. He may not have been elected president or appointed to certain posts, but as a serviceman and a statesman and a senator, he showed what a tithemed life looks like. And in so doing, it must be said that he stands in stark contrast to any who would mock or criticize him. And if we cannot tell that truth in this place, then where on earth are we going to tell it? Number five, back to Michael Taylor, that beautiful man, the man who preached his eulogy, quoted from a song that Michael loved. And like me, he told the organist that day that he was not going to sing it. I say that every time I quote lyrics from a song. Usually I tell Brian, we're going to miss you, by the way. Thank you for being here so faithfully. Here's the song. When we have a work to do and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when God steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when God steps in. God sees you at the point of your need. God sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. And the moment you call, when you've given your all, God steps in, God steps in, and God will say, "What's that you have in your hand? I can use it if you're willing to lose it. Take the little you have and make it grand. I am El Shaddai, and I'll more than supply your need." When all that you have is oil in a jar, that's a reflection of where you are. That's when God steps in. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when God steps in. Let God take it and bless it and break it and give it. God will multiply it in the moment you live it. And then the moment you call, when you've given your all, God steps in, God steps in, and God will say, as he said to Moses, with his staff, by the way, "What's that you have in your hand? I can take it if you're willing to lose it. Take the little you have and make it grand. I am El Shaddai, and I'll more than supply. I'll supply. I will supply your need." Teddy, someday, when you most need to hear it, when it's difficult to make sense of the reason why things are happening to you, I hope someone will remind you of your baptism day. They'll remind you of what it means to bear the fruit of the Spirit. They'll remind you that even if you can't figure out what the reason is that things happen to you, you are here for a reason. And when they do that, I hope they'll also remind you to thank goodness, and thank goodness times two, because nowhere in the world is there someone just like you. In Jesus' name, amen.